Are you ready to make a change in your life? The first steps start right now. This is I Believe in You with Coach Kathy McCarthy. Get ready as Coach Kathy gives you all the tools and inspiration you need to change your life story. Now here's I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy. I am Coach Kathy, your holistic health and life coach, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Beth Reynolds. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm actually doing really well.
That's awesome. We have a few listeners that I'd like to give a shout out to. We have Stephanie and Dina, Emily and Elsa at Orchard's End. Good morning. And of course, Angelo and Gloria. Today, I'd like to talk to you about our fears and phobias, because we all have them. And some of us struggle with it more than others. And sometimes these fears and phobias could get into the way of our enjoying our life, right?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So this might be a little intense today, but I think it's an issue that we need to tackle.
Right. We can't get better unless we start dealing with these things.
Yeah. So we might go a little deep today, right?
Yeah, sure.
So first, I want to start by defining the difference between a fear and a phobia. So a phobia is intense and irrational. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's something that is presented to us and then it's gone. It's short lived and it's not something that we're dwelling on. Like common phobia would be a phobia of snakes or rodents, which are mine, and fear of heights. Mm-hmm. Getting lost, going over bridges.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
I'm not afraid of anything, Kathy.
You go, girl.
No, I think actually you don't really know that you have the phobia until you're right up next to it.
Right.
And then you can recognize it and say, you know, I'm terrified of snakes or I'm terrified of spiders.
Yeah.
And then once that thing is gone, you go back to your life.
Right. And it's not a concern. But a fear is a perception or your belief. So it could be intense and irrational like a phobia, but it doesn't go away unless there's some kind of resolution. So it's something that stays with you. And usually a fear is deep-rooted, and it could show up as stress and anxiety and masked as an unexplained emotion. Like you might be saying, oh, I'm really miserable or I'm unhappy or really stressed, and you don't know why. It's inside of us, unlike a phobia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I woke up this morning with a huge knot in my neck, which has to be linked to something, I'm sure, because I didn't go to bed with it. And I think that's how I manifest fear.
And my
physical being.
Right, muscles and your body. And it could show up as, like you said, a muscle ache or a feeling in your stomach or an unexplained emotion. Right. So sometimes I have clients come in and they say, I'm really unhappy. I don't know what's going on. And I don't know why. So it's usually those anxieties, those stresses are caused from a deep rooted fear. Okay. Whether we went through something that was traumatic or something that was taught to us, a fear could be something that was taught that we learned from our parents, our siblings, influencers, like a teacher, mm-hmm. Or from an experience, because we're not born with fear. You know, when we come out as babies, we are loving and we don't have any of those fears and that would cause us to have these deep-rooted anxieties, right?
Right, but the first time that something unexpected happens, you learn to be afraid of that. I think too, my kids go through phases where they want to be afraid.
Well, that's an excuse.
And well, like you know, they watch scary things to be afraid, and then they tell you about the bad dream they had. But I think they just like the experience of fear.
Right, and it bring attention. Right.
Right. Well, I think it's that thing you've always talked to me about is that certainty versus uncertainty.
Yeah. That need for certainty and the need for uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So we want that controlled fear, you know, mm-hmm. Like I love Halloween. Like I am crazy for Halloween. It's like my favorite. And you know, my husband and I, we go through this thing every Halloween. He's like, okay, some scary, but don't like, I don't want parents calling us up because you petrified their kids. So I like that kind of controlled, scary fear because it gets your adrenaline going, right? But it doesn't put you in a full-blown panic. So you kind of control that. It's the fear that we can't control, the fear of the unknown that makes us, it could turn our lives upside down and we might not even know why. So, and most of the fears that we have either are irrational, we've made it up in our head and will never happen, but we hold on to that because for some reason we want to feel ready just in case something happens. Like we could, you know, prepare ourselves for the tornado. And that's an irrational fear, especially in this area of the country. We don't have them, but every time the news comes on and says, oh, it's going to be a thunderstorm today, and you're locking yourself in the basement with food and water and flashlights, that's impacting your life in a negative way.
Yeah. Or, you know, financial fear, right. I think, is a big one going on right now. And this idea that, you know, the joke I make is that we're going to end up in a van down by the river, and yet we don't.
Somehow you manage not to.
Right. But the fear is that you know, that you will run out of ideas and run out of opportunities.
Right.
And everything will go to hell. And I don't, you know, as a friend of mine said, that I would never run out of ideas.
Right.
But I don't trust that part of myself sometimes.
Right. We always have a choice. And it's amazing how when we are in these situations that we manage to figure it out. It's more fearful to worry about the what if than when you're actually in that situation. You manage to figure it out. It's amazing the strength and the courage that you muster up that you never thought that you had. But when you are actually in a situation like that, where you have a fear of something, fear of losing your job, what would I do? Oh my gosh, how am I going to live? Am I going to live in a van by the lake? You know, what's going to happen? And then you find yourself in that situation and you figure it out.
I think that's why a lot of people stay in jobs they hate, because the very idea of not having a regular paycheck means that they would be in a van down by the river. It's not as nice as a lake, by the way. So, but that's what we sign up for. We sign up for these little things because we don't want to have to worry about where the next thing's going to come from.
Right. It's either that all or nothing mentality. Either I have that certainty that if this happens, I'm ready, or if it happens, I'm done. That's it. It's that all or nothing mentality. And that fear could disrupt your life and it could manifest in a negative way through your health or relationships and your enjoyment, your fulfillment, because you're always worried about what if.
And I think we worry about our, you know, as our parents get older,
yeah,
what we're going to do.
Right.
You know, Margaret had that problem
last week when she called in. Yeah. And these are real fears. But to have these fears without a plan it's what's going to keep you stuck. Some things you could plan for and some things you can't. Some people over plan and it keeps them stuck.
That's me.
Me too.
if I don't have a list, the day is ruined.
I have lists all over the place. Yeah, that's only because I forget. I have a fear of forgetting, you know, like forgetting to pick up my kid from school. That's a fear. So you put the notes all over the place. But, you know, some of these fears that may be deep-rooted could be if growing up a parent left and you have that feeling of abandonment and that carries into your adulthood. Okay, that's going to show up in your relationships. You are going to test that person who you're with to see if they're going to leave you. And then if they did, because you sabotage that relationship in some way, you get the chance to say, I knew it. I'm right. That's what happens. My fears are rational. And that's how we justify those actions, that our fear is rational because that person did leave. He did abandon me or she abandoned me. Therefore, I'm right. And it's a perpetual cycle, just goes on and on and on and on until we discover why. And that's what I want to get into today. that's what I want to talk about, is these deep-rooted fears that we probably don't even realize that we have them.
So how do you recognize that you've got a deep-rooted fear? Well, I mean, you may not know what the fear is. You may not know that really what it's linked to is a fear of abandonment or how do you go, yeah, that might be something that's mine.
So I'll have an example of a client who came in to see me, and she said, you know, I am just really depressed. I'm lonely and I don't know why. And on the outside looking in, she had it all. She had a beautiful home, a great marriage, kids were awesome, but she still had that feeling like in her gut that something wasn't right, and she didn't understand why she was feeling this fear and anxiety and this stress. So we talked about it, and she was doing everything right that, you know, you would think that, oh, she was joining clubs and she was looking for friends and she had just moved to the area and she was going out. She was really making an effort, which doesn't tell me that's somebody who's depressed. That tells me, okay, there's something deeper. There's something deeper going on. And then I asked her about her relationship with her husband, and she burst into tears. And I'm like, there it is. So after, you know, talking for a while, we discovered that she had a fear of her husband leaving her because she wasn't good enough. She didn't measure up to his expectations. And he wasn't giving her the attention that she needed. And it wasn't through any fault of his own. He did not know. He had no idea. She didn't know. She didn't know what was going on. So once we came up with a solution, and she voiced, first she recognized that she had this fear that she needed attention. She was afraid that if she didn't provide him with being this amazing wife, that he was going to leave. She had that fear of abandonment. Once she talked to him and they made time together outside of the kids and the day-to-day, they reconnected on a completely different level. And it was amazing. And that fear went away. And her self-worth and confidence came back. And the fear of abandonment was gone. And that's all it was. But she presented this symptom of, I'm really stressed, I'm full of anxiety, I don't know why.
So when we did a little research here, what we learned is the language of fear changes for each person. That I'm really stressed could mean I'm really afraid that something bad is going to happen because this has happened before.
Right, and that's what is not in the forefront of our mind, that, oh, yeah, you know, this happened to me when I was, you know, 8 years old, therefore I have this fear, and this is why I am the way I am, which justification for any of that is never a good idea. But working through the fear is not always easy. It could be painful. But when you do that, it's so much better on the other side. Life becomes better, becomes different. You don't feel that stress. You don't feel that anxiety unless you substitute one fear for another. But recognizing this, I always think about my clients who come in and said, I had a panic attack, and it came in the middle of the night. They wake up feeling unable to breathe, and it's scary. It is so scary, and they don't know why. But talking about it, just talking about your stressors, what you think are perceived stresses, is amazing, because you uncover things like, I never realized that was bothering me so much. And you know you're onto something when you start feeling that burden come off your shoulders. It's an amazing feeling. I could actually see my clients, that stress go away, like that light bulb moment. And it truly is amazing. So, Beth, is your need for to consistently manage your fear making you miserable?
Yeah.
Well, call us at 203-357-1400. We have to take a break. We're going to be talking about managing your fears in the next segment. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Cassie on 1400 WSTC.
It's time for a change, but where do you start? Relax, you've got a partner more than willing to help, and she believes in you. Here's more with Coach Cathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know. You can't touch this. Look at my eyes.
We're back, and we're talking about fear. And fear is something we don't want to touch. But we got to do it. So we're going to talk about managing, if we're trying to manage our fears and if it's making us miserable. And of course, it's making us miserable. I used to be famous, and I'm still famous, and I think we're all famous about asking the question, but what if, right?
Well, yeah, that's one way we try to control the future.
Yeah, I needed to know ahead of time so that I could be ready just in case it happened, and I wanted to put the fire out before it even got started. So I would always be, okay, so, but what if this happens, then what? You know, I get to be right.
Right, well, that's why we read horoscopes. Right? That you want that idea, or you visit a psychic because you think you have, you can control the what if you know what's coming down the pike.
It's, right.
As though you could.
Right, right. So so we have all this fear inside of us. We have fears of intimacy. We have fears of failing. Fear of failing is a big one. I think we want to know ahead of time that, okay, if I do this, I'm going to succeed. So if I don't know that ahead of time, then I'm not going to do it. Because if I fail, I'm going to crush. I'm going to die, you know? So we try to set ourselves up in a way where our fear will not come in. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So let's see. Let's think of an example of a but what if.
All right. So what if I go on a date with this guy and I fall madly in love with him and he breaks my heart and I never meet anybody else?
So,
and I die alone with a bunch of cats.
So that's that fear of intimacy. We avoid getting into deep, meaningful relationships because maybe we were hurt in the past and we have this fear of intimacy. So we decide that we're not going to be close to anybody. We put that wall up, and this might be conscious or subconscious. Most of the time, a lot of the time, it is subconscious. Like, yeah, you know what? I will never get married again because I was hurt. But deep on the inside, you really want this. So it's impairing your life. I mean, it's causing you pain. This fear of intimacy, of getting close, of being hurt, is impacting your life in a negative way. And then you wonder why you're stressed and you're unhappy, and because you won't even try because the fear is so great because you were so hurt and wounded before. And there's a couple of things going on here. You have not healed that old wound, that when that person left you, that feeling that you had is still there, that abandonment, that you gave your heart and soul to somebody and they did you wrong. So you'll justify that fear by saying, I'm not going to do that again. You know, that wall is up. I'll never let anybody in my life that way again because the pain was so bad. But deep down you want it. So you meet somebody and you fall madly in love. And then, but what if he leaves me? So then comes the challenge.
What's the challenge?
The challenge is that you're going to test that person. You're going to test that person to see if your but what if he leaves is true. So what do? You throw in some monkey wrenches at him and you act out in a way that puts him to the test. So, for example, you might decide that he didn't call you when he was supposed to call you, just random thing. So in your mind, you've made up that, well, he's out with someone else. He's gone. He left me. And now you are burning mad because he didn't call you at 10 o'clock like you said he did. He called you at 11 o'clock. And now you get on the phone. You're like, hello? Yeah, really? Where were you? And he's like, what are you talking about? You know, well, you said you were going to call me at 10 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. He's like, yeah, I got detained. And well, that's inexcusable. Like, you have this fit of rage. And the guy's like, are you kidding me? Who is this nut? I'm out of here.
I was gonna say, so maybe one of the secrets of understanding that you have a fear is when you act like a psycho?
When you act, yeah. And I'm saying, because I have been guilty. I've been guilty of this from my past experiences, that I tried to sabotage relationships because I was afraid of that fear of being alone. But yet I liked being alone. I liked living on my own. But my but what if was, when I get old and my kids are grown and out of the house, I don't want to be a cat lady. You know, I don't want to be alone.
No offense to cat ladies.
No offense to cat. I have a grand kitty who I love, Cruz. He's awesome. But you know what I'm saying, as a metaphor, that it's, you don't want to die alone because, oh my God, that's such a horrible thing. But I really did enjoy being by myself. And I had to look at that and say, why do I have all this fear that even if this person left me, which I have no control over, I'm going to be okay. Will I hurt? Will I cry? Yeah, of course I will. But I will be okay. So I have to stop trying to manipulate and control this relationship in a way that I think is going to protect my heart. And I need to be vulnerable. I need to be open. I need to be who I am. And it was at that moment that I promised that no matter who came into my life, that I was going to be who I am. And if they liked it and we connected, great. But if we didn't, then that would just bring on a life of misery, because I would have been settling because I was afraid of being alone. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing I knew. I did not want to settle. So once I realized that, and not that it was easy, but once I realized that I was doing that, I had to find ways to stop doing that. So when I felt my anger coming up, that extreme emotion that was irrational for no reason, that I was able to say, okay, Kathy, just breathe through. It's okay. He's not leaving you. You know, you're not, you know, you're okay. You're worth more than this. You know, if this relationship's supposed to be, just be who you are. Because I wasn't acting as who I was. I was acting like this crazy nut who was afraid of being alone and doing all these things that were really throwing a monkey wrench in the relationship. And then I relaxed into it. I was who I was, and it was awesome, and it worked out. And that's how our fear could manifest, is when we've had that broken heart, or we've given somebody what we say is our life. I gave him everything, and then he walks out. Now you're blaming that other person for your loneliness, your broken heart, and because you were perfect. I mean, you know, we have the tendency to not look at ourselves and say, you know what, this is where I could be better. I think every relationship that we have, whether it's a romantic relationship with a friend, a sibling, a coworker, we could always learn something about ourselves, the good and the not so good, where we could improve or do something else. But if we're not willing to do that, to look at our fears and to do that work, then finding that happiness, finding that, you know, fulfilling the needs that we want is going to be really, really hard. And I think we do that. We make it really hard when sometimes it's okay to put yourself out there. It's okay if people don't like you. And I think we try to please people in a way that's detrimental to ourselves, because we have that fear that if nobody likes us, then it's a reflection on who we are. And there goes the confidence, there goes the self-esteem, there goes, you know, our happiness, because we're so dependent on an outside source than who we really are. And I think we all have gut instincts that are really, really good. And we don't trust that because it's clouded with so much emotional baggage, junk. But if you truly listen to your heart and soul, you know, you have that answer. And if you're just willing to sit with that and listen to your gut, I think that those fears will diminish. They might not completely go away, but it helps relax those but what if this happens. And those but what ifs, those extreme but what ifs, you know, some of those but what ifs you could plan for, Again, it's not always in your control, but it's the extreme, the intensity of our emotions and the language, like you said, the language that we use to describe those emotions are very, very important.
Right. I see it a lot in business as mm-hmm. well. It's, you know, it's not just a romantic relationship where it's, I worked until one, I mean, we talked about overworkers last time trying to prove their, you know, to control their reality through perfectionism. But I think it's also, you're trying to please a boss and please and please and please at the expense of what you can do, right? What you can put out there on a regular basis without burning out.
Right.
And then when that relationship doesn't work out, because once they've burned you out, they're going to go on to the next one, the anger that you have with those people carries you, you know, to people are so afraid of losing their jobs that they will put up with just about anything. And then the anger builds. And then suddenly their real self, their gut instinct shows up unexpectedly.
Then you wonder why you wake up in the middle of the night with a panic attack.
Exactly. I think it's going to show up.
It's definitely going to show up. It's going to bite you in the ass
yeah.
when you least expect it. You know, whether it's your work or your relationships, any relationship, your family, it definitely will show up. And it's going to show up in a way. I've been there. I've been there. And I'm like, what the hell did I just do?
Right.
You know? And sometimes it's hard to take it back. And sometimes you have to apologize. And a lot of us are not good at apologizing. So we say, well, I wouldn't have done that if you didn't do this. That famous, right? A lot of us do that. Well, I reacted this way because you made me do it. And there's the fight. And we wonder why we can't get along and we can't communicate. It's all that fear of, I was wrong. You know what? Yeah, guess what? Sometimes you're wrong. You know, me too. Sometimes I'm wrong. Not a lot. But sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. And if you value that relationship, you're going to do something about it.
Right. Even if it's a work relationship, the worst thing that could happen is you're going to get fired, but you're not going to die. You will figure it out. I've been there. I worked at a company for 15 years. I was a single mom and they did away with the department. And I was the first thing is like, what am I going to do? How am I going to support myself and my kids? I had a rent and I had food and all these things I was paying for. And I was petrified. So, you know, I had the pity fest for a while, you know, cried and oh my gosh, and bitch and moan to my friends and oh my God, poor me. And then I had to figure it out. You know, that's what we have to do. You have to trust your instinct. And you have to figure it out. And sometimes you just have to sit on your hands and do nothing. And that's okay.
And wait for that opportunity to show up.
And it does. And I cannot tell you how many opportunities came my way that was better than what I had before. But I was afraid to trust that process. But people and situations have a way of showing up. But you have to be willing to go into that dark unknown and put away the but what if and let life happen. Now, I'm not saying, you know, be inactive. Of course, I was looking for jobs and of course I was out there. I wasn't sitting waiting for the phone to ring. You've got to be motivated to do appropriate things. There's only so much, you know, bitching and moaning you could do with your friends. And they're going to say, you know what, you need to get your ass out there. I don't want to hear from you anymore, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, having that support is great, but you have choice. We all have choice. You can't sit there and say, well, this company did this to me, poor me. Now I am in the poorhouse. You've got to take appropriate action. You have to trust your gut and instinct. And that fear has to go away because that's going to hold you back.
Absolutely.
You agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think we need to talk about really big fears.
Yeah. So I think in our next segment, we're going to ask for callers if they want. Yeah. You know, this is a pretty intense show to call in and talk about if they faced a really big fear. So our next segment is going to be pretty juicy. So if you want to call us at 203-357-1400, we will welcome that. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's your life, but that doesn't mean it can't change for the better. The first steps start here. Now back to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
We're back, and we've been talking about fear, and this has been pretty intense. Right now, we're going to talk about standing firmly on the other side of disaster.
Yeah, that's okay? Somebody asked me if we were self-empowered women the other day, and I said, no, not really self-empowered, more just standing firmly on the other side of disaster.
Yeah.
And when I mentioned that to you, I think it really resounded because that's
it.
Who we are. We're a little grimy. We're a little battle scarred, but yeah. I'm got both feet on the ground and I know where I am and where I'm going, and that means I'm on the other side of it.
Right. We're not afraid to roll up our sleeves and get dirty not by choice, because we've had to.
Yeah, because sometimes no matter how much you plan, sometimes how much you try to protect yourself, life is going to smack you in the back of the head. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And learning to deal with that straight on, I think, actually enhances your life.
Yeah, I love that you said standing firmly on the other side of disaster. I'm going to use that because that is so awesome. Because we've been there. Some huge major issues that we've both had to deal with in our life that we didn't plan for, no matter how many but what ifs, you know, we try to control it. It happened, but here we are on the other side of disaster to talk about that.
Right, and maybe by talking about some of these things, we can help somebody who's actually on the other side and is beginning their disaster.
Right. Like, so we've talked about, you know, my divorce, and you know, we talked about that. But I know you have some disasters that you've gone through and are on the other side of that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's happened to my husband and I is we dealt with what a lot of parents fear, especially when you're getting ready to have children, which is a child with a chronic illness, a genetic disease that we did not expect or plan for. And in our case, it's cystic fibrosis, which is it's a genetic disease. So it's in every cell in my son's body. And what means is the cells in his body cannot take out the trash. So he gets gunked up. And when you have gunk in your system, you're going to invite infection. So that's essentially what CF is. And a lot of people know it as a lung disease because it affects your lungs. Because, you know, anybody who's had a cold with a lot of mucus in their chest knows what that feels like. And this is what we have to clear from my son every day. And then it also, in his case, affects his pancreas. So he has to take medicine before he eats to make sure he can break down food and gain nutrients.
So when did you find out about this diagnosis?
When I was about 5 months pregnant.
Okay. So at a time when most women are ecstatic to, you know, having a baby, you were given this diagnosis.
Yeah. And it was, you know, we had been asked if we wanted the test for my older daughter. And I said, no, I don't have CF in my family.
So when you were pregnant with your older child, they asked you if you wanted this test, and you said no.
Right. And then, as luck would have it, I chose a doctor who happened to be a high-risk doctor, not because I thought I needed one, just because he was around the corner. Yeah. Hi, Dr. Viscarello.
Yeah, he happens to be my doctor, too.
And it's part of his protocol to do that testing. I came up positive, and my husband came up positive, and so we had an amnio, and my son had it. And so we were able to prepare to some extent. We had a plan, right?
Right.
It didn't keep me from crying in the shower every night.
Yeah.
And it certainly did not make it easier the day he was born. And my wonderful and fabulous CF nurse, Luann, showed up at labor and delivery ready to talk to me about it. I told her to go away.
You weren't ready to.
I was not ready to. No, I had had a baby, and that was enough for the day, kind of thing. But she kept coming back, and so even with the plan, there was still fear. And then I had to kind of do it again. But as I got through it, as I found that he was, you know, robust, he was nearly 11 pounds at birth.
Oh, Lord, tell me you didn't.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. He was, yeah, but my first one had been huge too. But the point is as we got used to the routine and what this meant and
the new normal.
The new normal, as mm-hmm. he started to thrive, we were able to reach out to other CF parents or take calls from other CF parents and say, yes, this sucks. Absolutely. And guess what? It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
That you're going to adapt to this new normal, and you're going to delight in your child, and you live in a time where there is treatment. We are on the road to a cure for CF.
I'm getting goosebumps. That's
awesome. I know, and so you know that this is the time, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay, and so is your child.
So, how did you and your husband deal with that fear? Because I mean, it's, again, smacked you upside the head. You already had a child that didn't have CF. And now I'm sure there was a ton of fear when you brought him home because this wasn't something that was known.
We were not in good shape.
Okay.
You know, because I think you don't know how you're going to react to that kind of fear until you're in it.
So the anticipation of the fear, would you say, or anticipation of what was to come, was that more frightening than actually being in the day-to-day care?
Well, you know, when you have a baby and then suddenly you have to give it enzymes, give your baby enzymes, it's another step, right? And then you have to give them these foul-smelling ADAC vitamins that, oh, they're awful, and they stain everything. And this extra burden of not only having a two-year-old but also having a newborn and not understanding the protocol, mm-hmm. that I think was really hard. And I think it was worse than the anticipation because you kind of re-grieve, right? It's the anticipation, he was safe. There's nothing, you know, he wasn't breathing at that point. He was is in utero. But once he's out in the world and you have to actually deal with it, that what if I do it wrong? Right. Maybe is another type of anticipation that we were in fear of. What if we don't do it right mm-hmm. and something happens to him, right? This extra burden. But over time, we laugh about it now, but over time, what we saw in ourselves and what we see in other CF parents is that one parent typically goes overboard in trying to care for the child, and the protocols and the medicines and being on top of that to a degree that's almost interference with the child's ability just to live normally. Mm-hmm. And then the other parent backs off. Way off. Like, oh, it's nothing. It's something. It absolutely is something. But you don't want to deal, and you just kind of try to pretend it didn't happen. I was really surprised, considering I'm a list maker and worrier, that I wasn't the first. I was the latter. I backed off. And it causes a lot of friction in your marriage. And that's one thing we tell parents that we meet, new parents that we meet, that, yeah, y'all are going to fight for a little while until you figure out how to manage.
I mean, having a baby is stressful enough on for any marriage because you're trying to figure it out and there's a lot of fears, like you said, you know, you're afraid that you're not going to do it right. But to have a child with this genetic disease, that just adds more burden, more fear on the marriage. So how did you both figure it out?
You have to talk about it.
Okay.
You have to say, I feel this way. You have to talk to other parents. Right. I think one thing that we try to be available for, and if there are any CF parents, you know, there are new parents in listening that need somebody to talk to, we are available, is to talk to somebody that it will be okay.
So I find that when you have one person who is more standoffish and the other one is more aggressive, that would cause so much friction because the parent who is more aggressive or taking action, like that's their way of coping, might think that the other person doesn't care enough.
Right. Well, I mean, it's what we were talking about in the last segment with your fear that mm-hmm. when you were acting like a psycho. Both of you are acting like psychos. Mm-hmm. You just, one of them is screaming their head off because things are not going the way they want, and the other one's screaming their heads off because they want to be left alone. it does take a little while to say, all right, my role and your role in this relationship is to manage the medicine, and my role is to make sure he's, you know, involved in this, you know, music program. So
having that plan, talking to each other, talking about your fears, not blaming or assuming something with the other person is a way to kind of manage that in a situation that is so, I mean, it just hit you like
it,
you said.
Right, that a new normal is going to take sometimes longer than you want it to.
Right, and sometimes your instinct might be different than the other person's instinct, and that's where you kind of have to respect each other and how you're coping with that fear of what's going to happen, of the unknown.
Right, but as long as the two of you are in somewhat engaged somehow, that you don't completely live separate lives, you are going to try to find a way back.
And having that support sounds like it was huge to help you get on to stand firmly on the other side of disaster.
Right. And now he's growing and
he's awesome.
And his lung function is better than it's ever been. And we have a fantastic doctor in Dr. Hossein Sadeghi, our pediatric pulmonologist. And, you know, we had to trust that the universe would take care of us and our son. And that's exactly what has happened.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you for that. Next up, we're going to talk about some practical tips on dealing with your fears. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's time for a change, but where do you start? Relax. You've got a partner more than willing to help, and she believes in you. Here's more with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
And we're back, and we've been talking about fear, and we're getting really deep here. And I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. And again, thank you for sharing your story. Hopefully that's going to help a lot of people.
I hope so.
Stand on firmly on the other side of disaster.
That you're going to make it.
You're not going to die. You're going to be okay. You know,
it just feels like you're going to die.
It does feel like you're going to die when you're in it. But, you know, standing on the other side, I think, is a good way to put that, because we've all had disasters. We've all been through something. And that's why we're here. We're here to help people overcome their fears and have a better life, right? That's
yes, what we do. Absolutely.
So I thought that at this last segment here that we would not only give our listeners something to think about, but to give them a little homework for the week.
I really think we got to change the homework part of the segment. We need to give it a better name. Things to think about, to ponder.
Things to ponder.
When you're sitting in traffic on 95.
I like homework, but that's what I do in my class. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give you your homework for the week. When you come back, check in, and we're going to see how you do. But if you like things to ponder, we'll do things to ponder, or an assignment.
All right, so what's our first thing to ponder?
So the first thing that I think will help is the willingness to be brave. You know, if you need to have that difficult conversation that you've been afraid to have, you need to have it.
Yep.
You need to talk about that thing.
But I like to have the conversation in my head.
Oh,
For weeks before I actually do it.
You know what's awesome? You have the conversation in your head, and then you have the conversation saying what the other person's going to say back.
Right.
And it never happens that way. Like, well, no, you're supposed to say this. And it doesn't work out that way. So, have that difficult conversation, no matter who you need to have that with, whether it's a coworker, a boss, a family member, you know, a spouse, the kids. Have that conversation, but do it in a loving way. Never do that when you're angry. Don't come across accusatory. Don't say, well, listen, this is why I did this. It's because you did this. Have that conversation coming from an I standpoint. I feel this way. This is, you know, my thoughts. You know, what do you think? What do you feel? This is how I feel. You know, come from there when you're calm so that you come to a resolution. I find when you start blaming someone else, I get very defensive and you start fighting and it's not going to work out. But if you have a fear, for example, that you're with a boyfriend, girlfriend, and the relationship is going great, but you've decided that, you know, I want to get married, but you think the other person doesn't want to because you've talked about it, about, you know, years ago or in the past said, you know what, we're good. I don't want to get married. Me neither. But you've decided that you want to get married. But having that conversation might mean that this other person's going to leave. So you justify not having that conversation. Well, you know what? This is what we agree to. I'm good. I'm happy. But you're not.
Right.
So, you know, you got to have that conversation, which leads me to the next thing to ponder. Your needs and your wants are important. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get your way. It means that you can't make excuses, okay, by justifying your fear, okay? So value your instincts. If you want to get married, if that's what you want to do, don't justify not having that conversation or that fear by ignoring it, okay? Because what you want, especially something like that, or the decision to have children or not have children or leave a job or move out of state, don't be afraid to have that conversation with another person if it's impacting their life as well, because you're afraid of what the answer might be. Because sometimes you might be surprised. You know, they might be on the same page, or they might be just as afraid to have that conversation with you. But if you don't do that, if you don't have that brave mentality and you don't have that, it's going to come up and bite you in the ass, like we said it would. It's going to manifest in a way that is not going to be good for you. And that might not mean that you get your way. That might mean that you come to some kind of agreement. You come to some kind of resolution for now in a way that you're okay with that. You're not settling. You're not justifying. You're not ignoring what you truly want, and you're not making an excuse for that.
And I think you can feel that one. Physically feel that one. When you have that conversation, mm-hmm. and you reach some sort of conclusion,
right,
you feel yourself putting it down.
You feel like your instinct says, you know what, I'm okay. You feel that relief, and you feel that burden come off of you. And the other thing is that you need to get rid of the what if thinking. Stay present and don't go too far down the road. So when I had you know, a few miscarriages before I had my two younger children. And prior to that, when I had my two older children, there were no issues. But it really took me for a loop. And I kept thinking, but what if? But I had to stop. I had to stay present. Everything was fine, and trust in that process. So I had to put down the but what if. And you need to make a plan, okay? You need to make a plan where you're not controlling the outcome, but you can control what you want to do and what you're not going to do. So if you need to have that conversation, make a plan. And if it doesn't go your way, have a plan. But it's only what you are willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And then the last thing is to do something kind for yourself, is to take that time to take a bath.
Does that mean I can eat a bag of cookies?
A couple. Not the back. But do something kind for yourself, whether you have a couple of cookies, go to the bakery, get a cookie, take a bath, take a walk, just sit and think for a while, have a cup of tea. Do something that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to Aruba, although you can. But it's just something that helps you to overcome and to relax and to think about what your next step is going to be. Make sense?
It makes sense. Okay. It looks like we're going to be just about out of time.
So, Beth, I want to thank you for sharing your story and for being here, as always. You're the best.
Yeah,
you're a great partner. My partner in crime.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying it. And we want to remind our listeners that we have a Facebook page called Coach Kathy's Boxes.
Go on there, like us. I noticed that a lot of people today did go on and they did like our page, which thank you so much. I hope I gave you the shout out you deserve. And I believe in you, Beth.
I believe in you too, Kathy.
Have a great week, everyone. Up next is All Sports with Bruce Hall on 1400 WSTC.